your scriptures, if you would, to Galatians 4. As you can see, we have lit our first Advent candle. Johnny was asking me today about just the history of Advent. Advent was something that the Protestant church has been doing since the 4th century. I think the first mention of Advent was in the Council of Saragossa, and that was 380 B.C. And so it's been going on for a long time. What's the purpose of it? Is to keep us focused on what the Christmas season is about. The Christmas season and what it's about. And so today our first candle is the candle of hope. The candle of hope. Let me ask you something. Where would we be without Jesus? What kind of hope would we have? Now, when I say hope, we're not talking about, well, I sure wish it would happen. We all know about that kind of hope, right? This is not that kind of hope. This is a hope that is, listen, it's a present reality based on a future promise. A present reality based on a future promise. Jesus has come. He's coming again. And when we light this candle, as we go into the season, beautiful decorations that we have. I know we are already, hey, I don't know about your house, but my house looks like a Christmas store right now, okay? It changes every day, and it'll say, what did I change? Like for a man, look, okay. What did I change? It's like, I'm usually pretty good at it, right? But sometimes at Christmas, I just miss it. I say, it's this, and she says, it's been out for a week. But it's a warning. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's a celebration. Listen, it's a celebration of the greatest thing that's ever happened. Look, think about, we have this babe. We have this babe. We have our nativity scenes that Christ, God, came to earth. But and listen, the world's okay with that. The world's okay with that, but their problem is this baby's going to grow into a man that's going to give his life on a cross for us. And so this, yes, it's a wonderful time, but without the babe we don't have the man. Think about that. And our hope that we have in Christ this season. And as we light candles to represent that and remind us of these things and to keep it focused. Listen, I know how hard it is. Why do we worry about presents? And it's such a hard financial time most of the time. Why? We got all these extra things. Is that what Christmas is about, to put financial burdens on us? No, it's about a Savior. And if we're not careful, we'll celebrate the same way the world does, and we'll get so caught up and so frustrated in all these things that really do not matter. Why? The greatest gift has been given, folks. I know these old cliches, but think about the greatest gift has already been given. Think about our message today. Turn in Galatians chapter 4. What child is this? We know that. We know that song, don't we? What child is this who is laid to rest on Mary's lap and is sleeping? Listen to this. Whom angels greet with anthem sweets while shepherds watch are keeping. This is what Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. This is the Christ child. This is the child of hope this morning. And we'll think about that hope as we're thinking about what child is this. And to be honest with you, we tend to think that the Christian message is fully understood. We live in that world, but it's really not. There's a lot of people are scratching their head this time of year, and they think of Jesus. Hey, they can accept the babe, and this was a great man, a great teacher, a great person that obviously made a great impact. So much more than that. This is God, and so we need to articulate it. They're confused. Many people are confused about Jesus, and the truth be known, some of you might be confused about it this morning yourself. And so we want to get this straight. This is one thing that we don't want to not have a full volitional understanding of, especially as we go into this season. His uniqueness, his birth, and his life, and how he was born, why he was born, his uniqueness. King of Kings. Listen, he was and he still is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, for some, it's not quite as clear, and you say, why? when it comes time to articulate it to others, we struggle. We struggle with it. And yet the things that I've learned, and I'm a talker, so I can say this. And my wife should say amen. Thank you. Is we can talk about the things that we understand, can't we? The things that we understand, we talk about a whole lot. I'm sure many of you talk about the football games yesterday and who's this and what team's the best and all these things. We talk about, can articulate things that we, our careers, our jobs, the things that we're, God's put us over to do, and we can articulate these things, then Christ should be the most easiest thing to articulate to others. Why? Understanding of who He is, why He came, why we celebrate, what is it that we're doing, what is this time of year, and what does it mean? It's Christmas time. And the first Sunday in Advent, we think about why do we have decorations? Why do we do all these things? And because in eternity past, God had a plan. That what would that plan be that He would send His Son into this lost world? And the reason that we're here today, December 3rd, 2017, right here at South Fort Baptist Church, is because of that plan and the common denominator. Regardless of if we have Christ as our Savior or not, the common denominator of the reason that we're here is because of Him, regardless if we understand that or not. And so I want us to think about this child of hope this morning and ask ourselves some questions when we're thinking about our child of hope. First is, when did He come? And let's look at God's Word. Let's stand in reverence to reading of God's Word. Let's look at Galatians 4, just 4 through 7, and we're familiar with this, and we'll talk about this, but the reading of God's Word, what does it say? Galatians 4, and we'll begin at verse 4 through 7. What does it say? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Father, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. May You be glorified. May Your word go forth. Hide me behind the cross. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. So as we look at Galatians, understand a little bit about Galatians, and James, you did a really good job in our Sunday school lesson today and talking about Acts and beginning of Acts and how he was dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles and the law. At the church at Galatia, that was Paul's church that he had planted, a great church, but he had got news that they were falling for a heresy. They were beginning to listen to false teaching, and that false teaching was Judaizers. You say, what is a Judaizer? Well, these Jews would come in behind these churches that Paul and others had planted, Christian churches, and they would start telling everybody, you've got to listen, you've got to live by the law. This Messiah, this Jesus, he's Jewish. And so they were. It was a great platform that they were using. They were saying, hey, you've got to listen. You've got to fulfill the law. You've got to live by these certain things. You've got to do these things in order for you to be right, for the Christian understanding to be complete. And so Paul realized, man, that was heresy. Listen, Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Okay, you don't have to add anything to Christ. Christ came to not to abolish the law, but we'll see, to fulfill the law. And so they were coming around, and they had his church here, his darling church tore up because they were saying, you know what, does that mean that we need to do these certain things to be right with the Lord? And we already realized, listen, as we went through Romans, as James said, it took 13 years, but no. No, a couple years, all right, it wasn't that long, but it was a great, listen, it was a great study. You can't zoom through Romans, but we learn chapters 1 through 7 that the law could not what? It couldn't save us. All it did was condemn, didn't it? It showed that the law was given to us to show that we could not adhere to God's righteous standard. We could never attain to this righteousness that God said, this is the standard here. And so the law, all it did was point men that we needed a Savior. We could never do what we could never do, God would do. And so to go back to the law, to go back to say, if the fact of the matter is, if the law could save us, Christ would never had to come. It's that simple. It's that simple. And so he's getting them back. He said, and when did he come? I like when you get to Galatians 4:4. It's in the fullness of time. What does that mean, Paul? It had reached its capacity. And it's referencing that it was time for God to intervene. What the law couldn't do, God was going to do by sending his son. I want you to think about time. You hear me talk about it all the time. And I was saying in the prayer room, I don't know about you, but 2017 has been the fastest year of my life. Can anybody else say amen? This is the last month of 2017. We're looking at 2018. What happened to 2017? It's been a blur. Time, think about God created time. Now, and I don't want to get too much into it, but when you start thinking about time, it's fascinating. Why? It's our parameters. We're controlled by it. That's what we live by. Each and every one of us, I guarantee you, if I go too long today, you'll be going like this. Hell, I don't think I'll pray. Why? We're controlled by time. We got to beat the Methodists to the restaurants, right? Listen, we're controlled by time. We are. You'll get up in the morning, you'll go, you'll punch a clock, or you'll have where you go in, you're supposed to be there at a certain time. We're controlled by time and space. It is such a parameter of our life. But listen, God is outside of time. And when I start thinking about that, before he created everything, right? And it says that he placed the sun and the moon, he placed these things, and he controlled. That's where time starts in the beginning. What's outside of time then? God. If you think about 2 Peter tries to describe it, Peter thought about this too, and he said, a day in the Lord is like a thousand years like a day. There's no set parameter. God's time, and that's how eternity will be, by the way. The only way we can describe it is we say eternity. We'll be in heaven for eternity. Well, tell me how long that is. Eternity? See what I'm saying? We can't grasp it because we're so controlled, but Paul's saying there was a certain time. When did he come? In the fullness of time. Paul, what are you talking about? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, as James said, it wasn't plan B that God scratched his head and said, okay, law's not working, so we're going to have to do something else. In eternity past, he had a plan. It wasn't an accident, but we were under God's sovereign control. God established the times and places, everything. The eternal God that stands outside of time, yet listen, what he's going to do, he's going to invade time in the person of his son. Now that's really when it starts cooking your noodle, right? It's this eternal God, he's going to invade our time in our parameter, in our things that we're controlled and live by. That God is. Ecclesiastes says, what does it say? There's a time and a season for everything. Does he not? Great, smartest, Solomon's supposed to be the smartest man that ever lived besides Jesus. And when he said, there's a time for everything, time to live, time to die, a season and a time. This was the time. This was the fullness. Can't help it, I got to get out of my system. You remember what Cher said? If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those awful things and you'd stay. Cher, is that what time? If you could turn back time, is that what you would do? We can't turn it back. Everybody hear me this morning. We can't turn it back. All we can do is go forward. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will make you look back at your mistakes and the things that you've done. And you know what? You'll live in that wheelhouse if you're not careful. And he'll beat you to death and you can't do a thing about it, but you can sure do something in front of you. You can do the next thing right. God forgives you. Aren't you glad the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ said, hey, when he came and he gives us forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. That ain't got nothing. Well, I don't feel very forgiven. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. It's got to do with the promises of God's word. Time. The time was complete and full. Wasn't it a strange time to come? Think about it. Man, there wasn't any internet. There's no cell phones. We can just call. I can talk to people overseas right now. Communicate. Different time zones. There wasn't this mass communication. Didn't it seem strange time to come? Nope. It was in the fullness. It was the perfect timing. Palestine, wasn't that a strange place to come? Oh, we know that it was the promised land. We know that God had set it up and all, but think about it. God had, he'd given these people this land. It was all part of, listen, it wasn't this plan B. It was all part of the grand narrative, his grand plan that was set in place in eternity past. For now. And I want you to think about, in the intertestamental period between the testaments, there was 400 years of silence. We hear those words, 400 years, oh, you know, we don't think about it. Let me just tell you what 400 years minus 2017, 1617, my friend, let's see. That was the time of Sir Walter Raleigh and Pocahontas. 400 years of silence as they waited for the Messiah. Amazing. It's amazing. I want you to see that there was some things. Why was it? There's some words here. Think about expectancy. At 400 years of silence, would you not be expecting something? Would you not be looking? Think of how that was passed down for generations. People talking about the Messiah coming. How we need God. How we need Him show up. We're not heard from the prophets. We've not heard His word. Nobody stood up. Has God forgotten us? They were expectant. God had promised a Messiah. And what God promised, now don't forget, time for God is not our time. And we expect Him to act in our time frame, do we not? What is our time frame? If we need it, we need it now. We need it now. We ain't got time to wait. That's why we got the microwave oven, right? Serious. Why we got all these technologies? Because we want it now. And so, God doesn't work that way. 400 years they had waited to hear with expectancy. But not only that, think about security. Now, let's look at all of history. All history's playing it out. It's all pointing. What's going on? This is the time of the Romans. What do you mean? God's using the Romans? Can God use the Romans? Well, they had conquered and took over Jerusalem. What had they done? The Pax Romana. Roman law. Man, you didn't have to worry about it. You could go out and travel the roads. It was a time of safety. A time of Roman law that protected everybody. And you know, they actually had a great road system that was set out. You could travel in the Roman Empire. It was a perfect time of security. You could travel pretty much with ease. Oh, not in jets or by cars and all these things, but you could travel in that time frame with ease. And then clarity. Think about expectancy, security. Also clarity. You say, what are you talking about? It was a time of the Greek language. In the known world, oh, God used a little guy called Alexander the Great to take care of that. Conquered the whole known world. Oh, for what reason? Can God use Alexander the Great just to usher in the Greek language? Everybody was speaking the common language. The mythological gods of Greece and Rome, they lost their luster, okay? People realized, hey, they felt like it's no longer much value. They'd grown tired of them. The people were searching for something, listen, to bring them fulfillment. Hello! You live in that world today. People searching to bring fulfillment. Something of value, something of worth, something that could fulfill me, my aching, longing heart. It was a great time because they had lost that. They felt like they were missing something. Everything, you know what it was doing, was pointing them to Jesus. Paul's letting the church at Galatia know, they didn't need the law. What do they need? They needed Christ. Jesus came to give them freedom. And if you are free in Him, you're free indeed, my friend, and we'll see that. That was the when. Now I want you to look, what exactly happened? Look at 4b. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law. Wait a minute. That doesn't mean God sent forth His Son. Sent from a what? Previous state. As we talked about in our Sunday school lesson today, Jesus has always been and always will be. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always been and always will be. In eternity past, they had a plan. And in that fullness of time, what happened? This is speaking of Jesus' deity. He's God, by the way. He's all God. I want us to think about that. What did He do? God sent forth His Son. Incarnation, perfectly qualified to fulfill what was needed. Jesus in Mark 1:15, listen to what He says. The time is fulfilled, and then the kingdom of God is at hand. And then He says, repent and believe in the gospel. He's perfectly qualified. He's what God sent to take care of our need. And it speaks of his deity. And I want you to think about 2 Corinthians. Says it in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day. Why would you put off your salvation? I'm fascinated with that also, because I think Satan gives us a lot of lies. And if you're that person today and you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is maybe what it is. Just you need to get some things straight before you accept Christ. There's some things in your life you need to get straightened out. So you just wait. Or here's another lie. Or you'll have to quit doing this if you become one of them. Hello? All the lies Satan likes to sow. I want you to know something. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says now. Now is the day. Now is the appointed time. Don't put it off. Why? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. God's been knocking on your heart, and you've been putting it off. You know what? The knock gets a little lighter and a little lighter. A little lighter to where the knock goes away. That's a scary place to be, my friend. And so I want us to think. Now we see Paul talk about his deity, but now he's going to talk about his humanity. What does he say? Born of a woman. Think about that. What a mystery. God comes down a natural birth canal like every other human being. God chooses to come in the form of a baby that has to be taken care of and diaper changed and fed. God. I love the song. What does it say? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see hell, incarnate deity. Please, with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. God chose to come in that way. That's where we might scratch our head and say, why? Who would think up such a thing? Come on. As a man, would we think up, well, now, God, would we create a religion where the Creator, God, the sustainer of all, comes in the form of a little baby that has to be taken care of and raised up, born of a woman? If God demands total righteousness, how am I going to ever be made right without Jesus? Think about that. That law demanded righteousness, total righteousness, the standard. Jesus said, and he's the only Savior, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen, please. If God must save, then the Savior must be God. If man bears the punishment of sin, then the Savior must be man. What does that equal? The only God-man, Christ Jesus. That's as simple as I can put it. If the standard of God is perfect and total righteousness, then God must save. If man bears the punishment of sin, then he's got to be God. Perfect. Only one. Hydrostatic union of God. God-man. 100% God, 100% man. Only been one. How's he come? In the form of a babe. A Christmas that misses this misses everything. Understand that. Anything else is a lie from Satan. So we looked at the when, and we looked at what happened. I'm glad the last question is, why did he come? Listen to what the verses says. 5-7. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Why? Two words I want us to look. Two reasons. First, redemption is what the Scripture tells us here. He paid the price for those who were under the law. 3:13 Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Read Deuteronomy today. Curses everyone. He becomes that curse. He redeems. He buys back. He pays a debt that we could never pay. Clean sheet. Fresh start. Jesus has done for us on the cross what we could never do for ourselves. That's the message of Christianity. What man couldn't do, God did through Jesus. And we learn. We we learn back when we were in Romans that the law never could be fulfilled. It could never make us right with God. So Jesus comes, and what does it say that he did? It said he was born under the law. Born to a woman, born under law. He didn't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. That which we couldn't do, he did. And he takes our curse upon himself. What should have come to us went to him. Think about that. We deserve death. We deserve hell. Christ took both of them for us. You say, wait a minute, Dave. I'm going to die. I'm talking spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lest Christ comes, I'm going to die one day physically. I ain't going to be dead, though. Okay? And if it happens while I'm here, please listen to me. Have a celebration. When they lay the box down here, just celebrate and praise God. Don't say anything about the man in a box. Say something about the Savior. That was his Savior. And the only reason that he's alive is because of him. And I'll celebrate for eternity because of what Jesus has done. So I don't fear physical death like the natural world. Why? Because it's only a door. It's only a process because of Christmas. You see the season. This is what it's all about. It all ties together. Don't separate it. Don't compartmentalize it. It's the beauty of what we celebrate right now. He redeemed us. He became sin. For us, that we might become the righteousness of God. No other pathway of deliverance today. If you're trying to find deliverance, if you're trying to find hope, if you're trying to find something of self-worth this morning, listen, there's only one, and that's Christ. Why can you say that, preacher? Oh, you were raised in church. No, I wasn't. I've tried all the things of the world. I've tried everything that Satan has to offer. And you know what? It left me wanting. And I realized I was missing something. And it was Christ. And I listened to preachers preach messages. And I didn't listen until the Holy Spirit pricked my heart and says, that's what you've been looking for. Try as you might, Dave. You're not going to find it in anything else. And when he broke me, that's when I found the fulfillment and the hope that only comes through Christ. That babe came. Become a man that died on a cross, that we could have hope, the candle of hope this morning. Not only, listen, we don't stop there. He gets better and better. Better and better. Why? Adoption. Look what it says. Now, what? Not only does he redeem us, he sends forth his Son to die for us, but he also has sent his Spirit that we can live in us. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The benefit of redemption experience in our life is the Holy Spirit's at work in us, sanctifying us daily. When someone is adopted, that child's status his name and his status changes. Why? They become that family. But they become part of that family. New name, new family, new privileges, new expectations. We're all adopted into the family of God through Christ. And what does it say? And that which is legally done can now be experienced when it says that adopted by God Himself, we can call Him Abba Father. Personal name. We can have a personal relationship with the God of this universe through Jesus Christ, His Son. You want to have abundant life? You want to have a life that's fulfilled and full? You have that life that's that personal relationship through God through Jesus Christ. Nothing compares. Nothing like it. Why? It's hope. You live in a world full of hopelessness. You see it played out every day in your work, on the news, in your schools. You have something. You have a candle of hope. You have a light that you can shine in Christ, the only hope that the world needs. Can that candle make a difference in the vast darkness around? I want you to understand something this morning. You cannot make it dark enough in here to put that candle out. In fact, the darker darker it gets, the greater the light shines. Shine your light even when you feel like you're the only one shining. Why? The greater the darkness, the more the light shines. Now, I like verse 7. He says, no longer a slave to sin, but now a son. Not just a son, but an heir of God through Christ. What does an heir receive? Everything that Christ receives. You become a son and a daughter of the King, and you receive everything. The kingdom is yours through Christ. What is Christ is ours. Christmas indeed, my friend. Christmas indeed. We've inherited the kingdom through Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. That's what Christmas is about. Applications will be done. Linda, come and play, please. Do you understand the magnitude of this season? Do you understand what has taken place? I hope through the preaching of this today, you understand why it is that we celebrate what we do. What it is that, why is it such a special time? Why is it that we need to take advantage and invite people to church? Because the world is soft on the things of God and the season of Christ. And those that don't even believe in Him, celebrate His birth. Let them know why they're celebrating. Invite them to come out. Tell them about the shine your light in the midst of darkness. Why? There's hope. There's hope. We have hope. Do you need some hope this morning? There's hope in Jesus. Number two, instead of worrying about gifts, celebrate the greatest gift. Anybody need to hear that today? It's for you. Instead of worrying about buying a bunch of gifts and all this financial stuff, celebrate the greatest gift. Christ has come, and He's coming again. Number three, are you living like a son or daughter of the King? Are you living like you're adopted into the family? Let's stand to our feet. Anybody need hope this morning? Altar's open. Come and talk to Jesus. Don't worry about what nobody thinks. Just God. If you need hope, come pray. You need Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You've never received Him, and you know you hadn't. Why would you put it off today? Why? When you realize Christmas, He came. He came for you, my friend. You and you alone. What is it that God has said to you? Bow your heads before the Lord. Do work with Him right now. If you need to come forward, come forward. If you need to receive Christ right where you're standing, ask Jesus into your heart and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I received by the Holy Spirit, I realize I've never done this. I received Christ as my Savior this morning. Lord, I repent and turn to You. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you're going to let somebody know. Altar's open. I'm not going to tarry long. If you need to come, pray. Pray. Whatever it is the Lord said to you, don't be disobedient. Don't be disobedient. People are coming. How about you? Don't go home and wish you would have done something. Just be obedient. The first step to obedience is just following what the Lord says. Don't expect God to act on the big things if you don't act on the little things. How about you today? Do you know that you need Jesus? Is Jesus beating? Is the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart? Boy, what a great Christmas it'd be if you received Christ as your Savior. Don't put it off. You're with people that love you and care about you. Don't let Satan tell you this or that. You need to do this. Don't listen to none of those lies. Just come as you are. Looky here. I love you. If you've received Christ today, you make sure and let me know. Let somebody know why it's the greatest thing ever happened to you. Any way that I can help you, I love you. What a great season that we're in. Let's start it, man, the right way. Candle of hope. Hope that you have. You have hope. Live like somebody that has hope, okay? What a blessing that we are. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. 4 o'clock for the choir, we'll be practicing, and 6 o'clock for the brotherhood and the women's meeting, and then also the kids' choir. Don't forget the kids' play practice for Christmas. Don't forget that. Lee closes in prayer.